This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we'll talk to artists in our Bronx studio and we'll listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artists. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. And of course, so that you can find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions featuring Griff Rees. I'm Megan Ofterman, and I'm here with host and producer Kara Manning, and we are in WFUV's Bronx studio. Kara, the artist that we're featuring today, we've had the chance to hang out with him a couple of times this year. He came up to the Bronx to do an FUV live session, and we also ran into him at South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas. Can you talk to us a little bit about Griff Rees?
I had the chance to first interview him at WFUV when he came up around 2011 for Hotel Shampoo. And the thing that most impressed me about Griff is that he requires you as an interviewer to slow down, to listen to everything he says. He's very sharp, very acerbic, very witty, and very wise. And his music scopes both the personal and the political, something that is certainly true with his latest album, Sadness Sets Me Free. He has an interesting background. His dad was a poet and a writer, very much about Welsh rights. And that sense of fairness is evident throughout Griff Rees's entire canon of his recording. So Sadness Sets Me Free, very funny songs like Bad Friend, but there's also a deeper meaning entwined in a lot of the songs on this album, you know, especially one that I related to, They Sold My Home to Build a Skyscraper, which he unfortunately did not do in this session, but I loved everything that he did. And I'm always excited to talk to Griff because I just think he's marvelous and wise and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So without further ado, let's get into it.
And with the title track of Sadness Sets Me Free, Griff Rees and his band in Studio A for FUV Live Sessions.
Gemstones of your eyes, I see the stars that shine forever. So come and set me free from my vain and selfish ways. Your companionship will keep me on the dance floor of the commune. And from the road to ruin, I'll emerge. Sets me free. Sadness sets me free. Sadness sets me free. In the mirror of the truth is a question mark of candor. Come and set me free from my vain and selfish ways. For in the showroom of your heart, I see the carriage of a kestrel. So come and set me free from my vain and selfish ways. Your commitment could coerce me into fruitful coexistence. Existence will be boundless, and the future wide and clear. From the corner of my eye, I see that darkness always follows. And by now you know that I know only sadness sets me free. Sadness sets me free.
I'm Kara Manning with FUV Live, and that was Griff Rees and his bandmates with Sadness Sets Me Free, which is found on Griff's beautiful eighth solo album of the same name. Sadness Sets Me Free falls in an impressive chain of at least 25 albums that Griff has released over 35 years, with Super Furry Animals, Neon, film scores, theater, and far more, including his first Welsh band, whose name I can't say on the air, more for FCC reasons than for my poor pronunciation of Welsh. Griff has collaborated with Imran, Gorillaz, Mogwai, and more. In my humble opinion, he is one of the greatest contemporary songwriters writing in English and Welsh, and it has been a privilege to speak with him several times over the years, and I am so happy to welcome Griff back to Studio A. Croeso nôl, Griff.
Diolch yn fawr iawn.
My attempt at Welsh for you. I'm so happy to have you back here, and especially with such a beautiful album as Sadness Sets Me Free. In fact, your bandmates who are here today, and if you could introduce them so that I don't butcher their names once again.
Yeah, well, on piano, there's Osian Gwynedd, and on double bass, there's Hugh V. Williams, and we had Rodri Brooks on the pedal steel.
And this sort of setup, aside from the drummer, is very much akin to what you had in Paris over the 3 days that you guys recorded, correct? You wanted all acoustic, not many overdubs. There was a reasoning behind that, though, that had to do with your experience with Imran, right?
Yeah, I had the privilege of guesting on Imran's album that they recorded in the south of Algeria, and I spent about 4 days with them jamming and writing songs and then recording, and they were recording everything in the round acoustically, and with an amazing engineer called Maxime Cosinets. And then we were passing through Paris, finishing up a tour a couple of years later, and I asked Maxime if he was around, and he recommended the studio, and we went there and set up in the round and recorded on all acoustic instruments. All wood instruments, a piano, double bass, drums. It was a very simple recording.
At the studio is what, La Frette?
Yes.
Yeah. you had also worked many of these songs, like Sadness Sets Me Free. You had worked them live for a long time when you guys were touring in Spain and France, trying to... You started, I think, with very raw demos, but then expanded and refined over what? It took a couple of years for you to get these songs to where you wanted them, that you felt confident enough to go into that studio for 3 days.
I suppose the tour was integral to the recording in that we recorded the album very quickly, but that was because we'd kind of rehearsed the songs and played them live. It was like a fancy studio, so we couldn't afford to go there for a long time. So we had to do all the work in advance and then, you know, pop in for 3 days and document everything.
You wrote so beautifully, too, about your experience working with Imran, who are Tuareg Desert Blues Band, and you talked about gazing at the stars at night and hiding from the sun by day. I'm wondering how that experience for you also altered the way you chose to write some of the songs for this album as well, because there are many, many genres and feelings and things you need to say on this album, and I'm wondering how that experience affected you.
Well, I'm sure an experience like that will have affected me yeah. Majorly in ways I can probably not define, and I guess they're from a different musical tradition to mine, which makes it more exciting and, you know, to experience. Yeah, I was mostly inspired by the way they worked, and I could never sound like them in a sense, but I just loved their spontaneity and how they recorded at extremely low volume. It sounds so huge and powerful, and in the room it's extremely quiet. That was the, I suppose, the biggest influence I took from them, although musically it's a world away, I guess.
What is the phrase "sadness sets me free" mean to you? The thing that's really interesting about this album, you've described it quite perfectly as sort of a euphoric melancholy. If it's autobiographical in any way, you're harsh upon yourself, but also it's a very political album as well. You're harsh upon the government. What was the sort of drive? Was it a pandemic thing? Was it what you were going through during that very dark, bleak period of not knowing whether or not you could ever play live again?
Yeah, at the time, I really felt, oh, this is like a post-pandemic album. We're all in a room together again, which was one of the main drivers of it as well. I wanted to play live with people because that was impossible for a while. But listening back 2 years later, you know, it's clearly damaged by the 2 years of the pandemic. I was definitely in that space still. And tuning in to Sad Records, and when the kind of line "Sadness Sets Me Free" came along, I recognised it as something I could develop and maybe pin a lot of songs around it. So I had that song written, and then I realised I could gather these different songs and hang them on the same peg. And they were songs of political frustration and songs of melancholy and complaint songs. I felt this was the record to gather them all up.
Your record of grievances.
Yeah.
I have to say that I did heavily relate to "They Sold My Home to Build a Skyscraper" living here in New York City. But "On the Far Side of the Dollar" and the cover-up, "Peace Signs." You have young daughters. And I wonder, as a father, how that fury about what their future might look like has more or less fueled your activism. Because you're a songwriter who is an activist as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could be more active. I'm, you know, political activists are my heroes, and I, you know, my favourite way of communicating with the world is through songs, and they can be pretty oblique. Songs that do engage with the present, unfortunately, there seems to be an universal present in terms of land developers kind of crushing cultural spaces, and you know, the government's always problematic.
Is it particularly bad in Cardiff where you live? I mean, I know a lot of venues are closed because of developers and so on and so forth, and I imagine Cardiff is not immune to that.
Yeah, there's so many studio spaces where I've recorded songs and venues where I've played concerts that are all gone, you know, and unfortunately, things aren't being replaced by utopian buildings. They're being replaced by kind of developments to make kind of a quick buck, usually at the detriment of society and culture.
Kara Manning with Griff Rees. His new album is called "Sadness Sets Me Free." And I mentioned earlier that you're a little harsh with yourself. If indeed I'm to take bad friend to be sort of a description of who you believe you are to someone else. But I will also say it is one of the funniest songs. I laughed out loud the first time I heard it lyrically. It is about a sort of fateful caravan expedition in the rain. And I'm assuming that there is a hint of truth in the story you're telling, or is it completely fictional? And you're a good friend.
You know, I think songs are autonomous beings, and I'm often surprised by what comes out in them. And they're usually, you know, they're usually fairly autobiographical, but usually picking up on four or five completely unrelated incidents squashed into one song. With Sadness Sets Me Free, I suppose I was giving myself the freedom to be sad and to bring these weird songs together of, you know, self-criticism or apology. So maybe in this one I'm apologising to all my friends I haven't been in touch with recently because of the kaleidoscopic amount of things that we're expected to negotiate every day in this 21st century life. I guess it's about unconditional friendship as well. You know, I know I haven't heard from some of my friends for a while, but, you know, I know they're there if I need them.
Like, when I first heard it, it made me think of a Backracker David song, that, you know, because it has that sort of that pop beauty and shimmering arrangement, yet also, you know, sort of poignant and pointed lyrics. So it's very Backracker David to me, too. And I'm so excited that you're going to do it here today in Studio A, Cara Manning with Griff Rees and his bandmates on WFUV. This is Bad Friend.
I can't promise you every hour of every day. I need to feed the kids and take them to the park to play. They say it's impossible to be everything for everyone. All I can say is that I'll have your back for your panic attacks. And though I'm a bad friend, yes, I've been like friend, just know I'm well-meaning, and I will be there at the end. Oh yes, I'm a bad friend, but maybe bad friends are still friends. I'm better than an enemy, and I will be there at the end. And though it's a struggle when you can't take everyone away on a caravan holiday to the western edge of Wales, just know it was raining and the beer was warm and the chips were wet, and you were Mr. Lot, and we took selfies in your name. And though I'm a bad friend, yes, I've been a really bad slag friend, just know I'm well-meaning, and I will be there at the end. Yes, I'm a bad friend, but maybe bad friends are still friends. I'm better than an enemy, and I will be there at the ocean. All those good times we shared upon the road, all those troubles disappear, all those struggles in the world in relief. Given friendship never shiver. You know I'm as reliable as asking a seal to deliver the post, or a random Pokemon to remember the number of your phone. And though I'm a bad friend, yes, I've been a really bad slug friend, just know I'm well-meaning, and I'm still here at the end.
Cara Manning on FUV Live, and that is Griff Rees and his band Bad Friend, which is found on Griff's new album Sadness Sets Me Free. You know, and in talking about that song, the title track of Sadness Sets Me Free, I forgot to ask you about Kate Stables of This Is The Kid, because she is on in the studio version, the recorded version of that song. She's actually on it. She also recently covered Sensations in the Dark as sort of a thank you cover. And you also produced her album, Careful of Your Keepers, with This Is The Kit. How much do you love producing other people? And what is the challenges as opposed to when you're producing someone like This Is The Kit, and also sort of over being your own band leader for your own solo album? What's the differences of Griff is the producer for others and Griff is the producer for himself?
When I started out recording, it was with a producer called Gorwell Owen from Wales, and his outlook on music, that he just wanted to empower people to make what they want to make, and he kind of didn't try and interfere with the process, but he could suggest things and create a good environment for people to do what they want to do. And that's the way I've kind of approached my own music, is through that kind of nurturing, and this empowered me to be confident in making records and taking decisions. And so in that sense, if I'm working with other people, I'm just trying to put myself in that role and to create something that the artist wants to make, rather than try and impose myself on the situation. And when you've got a band as talented as This Is The Kit, with every member could produce the album, and, you know, Kate's an amazing producer in her own right and extremely organised, you know, so that was like a dream, you know, to get to witness people that talented making a record was really special.
Must be flattering, though, to know that you are so beloved by so many musicians. You really are a musician's musician, and you've been often asked and people reach out to you to work on projects. You're really great with collaboration, even and with theater even. You recently did a musical, well, a play with music, I guess, called Lost and Found, which debuted in Manchester earlier, like late last year, and is based on an Oliver Jeffers book about a boy and his penguin. Had puppets, and you did the music for that.
Yeah.
You've also done, you know, the Almond and the Seahorse soundtrack. You enjoy working in theater and working in film. Where do you sort of pocket that work with, as opposed to the work that you do for yourself?
It's slightly different in that it's commissioned music. So, you know, sometimes I'm asked to do something extremely particular, which maybe I wouldn't usually do on my own records. You know, it's all me and kind of the direction I want to go in. But on the other hand, I learn so much doing that kind of work, where you know, I can work with different genres and do genre exercises for fun, and you know, I learn a lot from that. And I think I'm learning how to impose myself more into the process and still make kind of unique music, even in that context. Hopefully, but the Lost and Found project was amazing because I think it's the first time I've done a theatre project where I didn't have to be in it, or I could just write music for other people to sing. And there was a great freedom in that, in a sense, because I could imagine things that were much more fantastical than what I can do as a musician or singer.
How does one project then feed the next project? Because you always seem to be working, Griff. I doubt if you ever take any real time off, because you're always sort of leaping to another project or another idea. You have spoken in the past about how working on American Interior as a film, album, and book, which was based on John Evans, like nearly killed you because it was so exhausting. But you're driven. I would love to know what's next for you, or if you already started plotting the next 3 years of what that next Griff Rees project will be.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't plot in years, and I wish I could be more organized. I've got lots of ideas I want to try out. Yeah, hopefully I can make some more recordings this year. In a sense, I don't get much time to record just because of negotiating the everyday and, you know, playing shows and things. When I do get the chance to record, I really appreciate it, and I try and strike whilst it's hot, in a sense, and I tend to work fast and furiously, and then there are long periods where, you know, I don't get the chance. So I really appreciate the time when I get to record.
You know, you've written a song about Brexit and the EU. It's obviously incredibly difficult right now for musicians recovering from the pandemic, dealing with the inflation, dealing with so much, dealing with rent, dealing with just government restrictions on how you can tour. How do you survive? I mean, how does anyone survive right now? And when you look at the future, What do you think that that's going to mean for music in Wales or Scotland or England or Northern Ireland?
I mean, I'm extremely fortunate in that, you know, I started out in a period of, in music where people were getting paid and things. And I mean, but it's a real hellscape out there at the moment, unfortunately. And it's extremely difficult to negotiate, you know, touring in the period of populist governments trying to shut people out, and streaming sites that don't seem that different from the piracy era, but with a veneer of respectability. So it's incredibly difficult for young musicians, I think. People know that musicians are driven and obsessed by things that beyond financial reasons, you know. So the music will still come and will still be made, but it's extremely difficult out there. Yeah, so it's, I really appreciate getting to come here to New York to sing. It's really special.
We're really, really happy to have you here at WFUV. I'm Kara Manning, talking with Griff Rees. And you, your new album is Sadness Sets Me Free. There is one gorgeous song called I Tendered My Resignation, which comes towards the end of the album. I have always thought of you as a very romantic writer, but there's always a twist at the end. I Tendered My Resignation is sort of an interesting way of framing the dissolution of a relationship. And I was wondering, where were you? What space were you in which this song came tumbling out of you?
Yeah, I suppose I was tuning in to the feelings, you know. for, you know, a mixture of things. Musically, I realized the other day, I was going through me and Oshan at the period of just listening to Planxty, the Irish 70s kind of supergroup folk band. This would have been in, about 3 years ago, we went through a big Planxty moment, and the songs of maybe Andy Irvine in particular from that band, who's a very romantic writer and singer. During the time I was recording, I think subconsciously I was probably tuned in to that space. I didn't really realise it at the time, but in the past month or so I've been thinking about that, and it's like, I think that's where I was at musically. And the song itself was a much longer ballad. I wrote lots of lyrics for it, and there was a coherent story, but it just wasn't very good. and I chopped away at it, and I got rid of some of the details, and made it more minimal and basic, and just tried to tune into the emotion. It's been a really nice one to play live.
I'm so happy you're doing it today, and I'm so happy to be talking to you, Griff, again. It's such a privilege always when you come up to WFUV. And thanks to Hugh and Rajri and Oshan, this is I Tendered My Resignation from Griff's new album, Sadness Sets Me Free, FUV Live. Thank you, Griff.
Thank you.
Felt I wasn't deserving of your love. I tendered my resignation as I felt I'd gone beyond what's respectful in a relationship. You said maybe we can work things out, and I said no, I've made my decision. Pack my things into a wheelbarrow and wheeled it to my friend's place, but inside I felt death. I tendered my resignation. I tendered my resignation. Do 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 do.
And that was Griff Rees and his band with I Tendered My Resignation from his latest album, Sadness Sets Me Free. Griff Rees was in session at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Griff and his bandmates for joining us in the studio and to Rough Trade Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Alan Wang, and Gwen Taylor. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Alexandra Fowl. Megan Aftermat is executive producer. Our theme music is composed by John Crick. Be sure to subscribe to and follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you listen to your podcasts so you can hear all of the latest episodes and find your new favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday, and you can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm Kara Manning, host and producer of this episode with Griff Reese.